If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 8. John, the 8th chapter. We'll begin reading from verse number 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. We are giving thanks to the Lord all this month. Last week I shared on the subject, "Thank God for Grace." The title of my message today is, "Thank God for Freedom." Thank God for freedom. At the end of the Civil War, Richmond, Virginia, the capital of the Confederate States of America, fell to Union forces on April 3rd, 1865. The next day, just 11 days before he was assassinated, President Abraham Lincoln went to the city with his young son, Tad. As Mr. Lincoln and his son walked the streets of Richmond, one group of newly freed slaves cried out, "Glory, hallelujah!" and fell to their knees before Mr. Lincoln. It was here that the president paused and motioned for them to rise. "Don't kneel to me," he told them. "You must kneel only to God and thank Him for your freedom. Liberty is your birthright. God gave it to you as He gave it to others, and it is a sin that you have been deprived of it for so many years." In a spiritual sense, liberty is the birthright of all humanity. But all human beings find themselves enslaved by sin and the negative consequences of it. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is our natural state in this world. And with sin come the consequences of sin. All the negative things, all the evil things in the world come as a consequence of sin. But like those newly freed slaves in Richmond, we can receive our freedom, our birthright. Jesus said here in verse 36, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Hallelujah. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And I want to focus on that verse in particular this morning. So for the next few minutes, I want to answer the question, what must we understand about true spiritual freedom? You know, personal freedom, political freedom, all those things are wonderful and they're to be cherished. And we're to realize that not everyone enjoys the freedoms that we have in this wonderful nation of ours. But the most important type of freedom is spiritual freedom. As a matter of fact, I submit to you that there are people living in totalitarian regimes, under the weight of totalitarian regimes, there are people who are imprisoned because of their faith today, who in a spiritual sense are more free than many people walking around in our free country today. Because the greatest freedom is spiritual freedom. So what must we understand about true spiritual freedom? The first thing is this, is that true freedom is possible. True freedom is possible. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free. Now, to say if the Son sets you free, that implies possibility. Very important. You see, we take that for granted. But the question arises for many people who are under, political bondage or other types of bondage. They wonder, is freedom even possible? And the answer is, yes, it's possible. You know, most people thought for centuries the idea of landing on the moon was pure fantasy. Of course, some people still think it's pure fantasy because they think the whole thing was, all the video of it was faked out in the desert somewhere. But, brushing aside conspiracy theories and accepting the fact that the moon landing took place over 50 years ago, it was something thought impossible for centuries, and yet it happened. Many, many people doubted the possibility that the Berlin Wall, which separated free West Berlin from communist East Berlin, would ever come down. And yet, in 1989, it did. How many remember the images of the people dancing on the wall and taking sledgehammers and knocking the wall down? People thought that wall was erected overnight in 1961. People thought it would never come down, but it did. And there are people today that we rub shoulders with, family members, loved ones, acquaintances, co-workers, neighbors, all around us, who are enslaved by sin, who are enslaved by depression, who are enslaved by habits and by harmful thought processes. And you name it, people are enslaved by it. I said to my wife a few weeks ago, there was something on the news about some new problem in the world. And I said, one thing you got to say about humanity. Humanity is supremely creative in its ability to find new ways of perversion. I mean, it's true. There's always been perversion. There's always been darkness. I'm not saying that's a new thing. But you find new ways. The depraved human mind without God finds new ways of perversion, new ways of shaking our collective fist in the face of Almighty God. And there are people who are enslaved. And many of us, if we're born again Christians today, either here today or joining us online, we at one time were enslaved by sin. As a matter of fact, you don't have to have any terrible habits. You don't have to have been a murderer or an embezzler or a rapist or do any of these violent things or have a gambling problem or an addiction to something else to have been enslaved in sin. Truth of the matter is, you can be an entirely respectable member of the community. You can be thought very highly of. You can be a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or a pastor or almost any, have any respected position and still be enslaved by sin. Because that's the nature of life without God. And some of us try to share the gospel with people and they are so determined, their feet are dug in resistance to the gospel. And we say to ourselves, that person, we don't like to maybe verbalize it, but in our minds we have the idea, I don't know if so-and-so will ever come to Christ. And they may not. But let me tell you, the day we stop believing that spiritual freedom is possible for those who are the most enslaved on the planet is the day we need to shut the church doors. Because Jesus is still in the business of setting people free. Hallelujah. Free, amen. Freedom is possible. Hallelujah. As long as there's a God in heaven, freedom is possible. So we're not going to close the church doors. We're not going to stop proclaiming Jesus. We're not going to stop going to outreaches and proclaiming the gospel and believing for the impossible, because with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. And all of us here who name the name of Christ are living testaments to the power of Almighty God to set free the most enslaved people on the planet. I love that old gospel song, Jesus set me free, why should I be bound? Hallelujah. So true freedom is possible. We need to remember that. We need to declare that to the most hopeless, seemingly hopeless cases around us, that true freedom is possible. What's the second thing we need to understand about true spiritual freedom? It's that true freedom is provided. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free. True freedom is provided in Jesus Christ. It's not only possible, but it's provided. There's a way out. There's a way to freedom. You know, the President of the United States has a lot of powers, but one power that the President has that they can exercise at any time, but often exercise in a flurry near the end of their last presidential term, is the power to pardon. Every president, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter what party they're a part of, they have liberally used the power to pardon people who have maybe been convicted of crimes, but there are extenuating circumstances. They've served what the president feels is enough time for their crime, and they deserve to be set free. And some have questioned, you know, the decisions of some presidents over the years in granting pardons to certain individuals. Of course, not everyone agrees. But you know what? Nobody has to agree. You and I don't have to agree. The Congress doesn't have to agree. Even the Supreme Court doesn't have to agree, because in the Constitution is enshrined the absolute power of the president to pardon whoever he decides to, and it's absolute and it's final by virtue of the power of his office. Let me tell you, there's one greater than the president. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And his power to set free is absolute today. By virtue of the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary, hallelujah, the power of Jesus Christ to set free those who were bound, to set free those who seems will never be free from their sin and their problems and their difficulties. His power is absolute, and he's still in the process of setting people free today, hallelujah. Billions upon billions of dollars are spent every year on cures for different habits and different types of bondages. Some meet with moderate success. You know, the patch, I guess, has a certain amount of success setting people free from bondage to nicotine. And there are programs like Alcoholics Anonymous and Gamblers Anonymous, and I'm not disparaging the work that those people do, and I believe they have a certain amount of success. But ultimately, hear me now, church, ultimately, the only true source of freedom is the Lord Jesus Christ. And without a doubt, the only way that people can be set free from not only the practice of sin, but the power of sin and the penalty of sin. The scripture says the wages of sin is death. Did you know that? And we're born in sin with a sin nature. Somebody said if you and I could be taken from our mother at birth and put into a room, we'll call it a clean room, and you never see anything evil, you are raised, and somehow, it's not even possible, but if it was possible, you could be raised, never see anything evil, hear anything evil, never have an evil thought, guess what? You'd still need a Savior. Because your nature is to sin. We inherited that from Adam and Eve. There's no one who can set us free from the bondage of sin and all the ills that come from it but Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's no other way to the Father. There's no other way to freedom. There's no other way out of bondage. There's no other way out of spiritual imprisonment but Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, that's not a popular message in our culture. We Christians are called bigoted, narrow-minded, fanatics. Just read, and you probably have, some controversial issue, some moral issue. And just read an article about it, and then read the opinions afterward. You'll see what the world thinks of Christians, by and large. It's not a popular message. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And whether it's popular or not, whether it's in vogue or not, whether it's accepted or not, we the church, the people of Jesus Christ, we need to declare that the only way to freedom is through the blood of Jesus Christ, that it's the Son of God who sets people free. Hallelujah. We can never compromise that message. We can never alter it. We can never try to make it more palatable, more acceptable. We can never try and soften it. People need to know the truth, and it's the truth that will set them free, that freedom is found in Jesus Christ. True freedom is provided. Thirdly, we need to understand that true freedom is personal. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Aren't you thankful that salvation is personal? Not one size fits all. It's one sacrifice that washes away our sin. But the effect on our lives, it's personal. You see, each of us carries a weight of sin, but it manifests in different ways. And we still battle sin as Christians, don't we? But do you remember your life BC, before Christ? Or as I said last week, BG, before grace? Same thing. Remember that weight of sin? Remember that thing that you thought you could never be free from? And here you are today, November 14th, 2021, free because of the power of Jesus Christ. It's a personal salvation. True freedom is personal. God sees us, and He comes to our particular prison, and He brings the keys, and He unlocks that prison and sets us free. Hallelujah. I'm so glad our God is a personal God. I'm so glad He knows what I need, that He knows what my struggles are. You see, the things that trip you up might not be the same things that trip me up. And it's so easy to become self-righteous, isn't it? And a little super spiritual. Because some things are more visible than others. And we see other people struggle. And, oh, look at that person. I would never do anything like that. I would never have that habit or that pride. I would never do that. Well, aren't you special? But you see, the truth of the matter is, there's lurking within each and every one of us things that aren't pleasing to Almighty God. We just become really adept at hiding them, don't we? Thought life is not pleasing to God. Attitudes that God's not happy with. Bitterness. Have people wronged you in ways that you can't let go of? Bitterness. And yet we can smile on Sunday morning. And we can pity that poor person. Look at that person struggling. Oh, and we're like become like the Pharisees, you know, who were righteous because, oh, I don't have to deal with that problem. Let's take the masks off. Our freedom is a personal freedom. And whatever your prison is, whatever your habit is, whatever is within you and me that's not pleasing to God, the Son of God came to set us free. And even as believers, there are believers who struggle with habits and addictions and secret sins that nobody knows about but them and God. But God always knows, doesn't he? If you're here today or joining us online and you're struggling with some secret addiction, some secret habit, some secret way of life that's not pleasing to God, I'm here to let you know that freedom, that's a personal freedom, is available to you, that Almighty God, through His Son Jesus Christ, wants to set you free today. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. In the movie, The Mission, Robert De Niro plays a character named Mendoza, a kidnapper and slave trader of the indigenous people of South America. And at one point in the movie, he repents from his ways and turns to God. And as a way of a form of penance for his sins, he repeatedly carries a load of heavy armor tied to his body while climbing up a cliff, as penance for killing his brother and enslaving natives. When one of the Jesuit missionaries cuts his load as he is halfway up the cliff, he goes back down to the bottom and puts it back on again. And he finally makes his way up to the top with his load, and a tribesman is there and threatens to kill him, but then instead of doing so, he cuts the load off of him, drops it to the river below. The tribesman offers grace instead of punishment and frees Mendoza from the burden of his sin. That's what Jesus does. Sometimes we're just lugging around things, a heavy load of sin, a heavy weight of depression, a heavy weight of despair, a heavy weight that bogs us down, and God didn't intend for us to live that way. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. God, through Jesus Christ, wants to set you free from whatever's imprisoning you today, from whatever is binding you today. He wants to set you free and have you become light and not carry that weight around you the rest of your life. True freedom is personal. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Fourthly and finally today, true freedom is perpetual. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I looked up the word indeed, and the meaning, it has a couple different meanings, but it's often used for emphasis. If something is true, but it's true indeed, it's really true. It is, you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. It's undeniable. And I got to thinking about true spiritual freedom in Christ. And what I think the scriptures clearly teach is that freedom that comes from Christ is perpetual. That is, it lasts. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's a lasting freedom. The only way our freedom from whatever Christ sets us free from, the only way it's not lasting, it's not perpetual, if we, as an act of the will, go back to it and allow ourselves to be enslaved. That's what the book of Galatians is all about. You ever read Galatians? Paul chides the Galatians, these Jewish Christians who had come to Christ. They had accepted the grace that comes from Jesus Christ, and so they'd been saved. But some came in among them and taught them that they had to revert back to following the law. And so these born-again Christians were now putting their hopes and their dependency on their ability to follow the law. And Paul says, hey, you were set free from the bondage of having to follow the law. You were set free by grace. Why in the world would you turn back to trying to be justified by following a set of rules and regulations? The blood of Jesus Christ sets you free from that. And so the only way, once having been set free by Jesus Christ, that we can be bound again is that we willfully turn back to our bondage. But Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. In 1838 in Jamaica, an edict went out that freed slaves in that nation. And the evening of the that edict taking place, it would take place at midnight, a group of slaves got together and a mahogany coffin was made and a grave was dug. And into that coffin, they crowded all the various relics and remnants of their previous bondage and sorrow. The whips, the torture irons, the branding irons, the handcuffs, every implement used to hold them in bondage and to torture them. And they put it in that coffin. And at midnight, the hour of their freedom, they lowered it into that grave and covered it over, never to be remembered again, as a symbol of their past bondage being buried forever. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. Our bondage, He's buried it forever. Scripture says that our sins are cast in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Now, God is omniscient. God knows everything about everything. But when referring to the sea of God's forgetfulness, what the Scripture is saying is that God regards, once we are justified through Christ Jesus, once we receive spiritual freedom, our past, our sins, our bondages, our addictions, they are buried in the sea of His forgetfulness. It's as if God can't literally forget, but it's as if He's forgotten them. He holds no record of it. He doesn't acknowledge it. It doesn't exist. You know, when a juvenile commits a crime and it's in their juvenile record and the record is sealed, and they say after so many years the record will be expunged. What does that mean? It means it never happened. Well, yeah, but it took place on... No. The record says it never happened. See, and the enemy of your soul says, you know, listen, look at all the rotten things you've done and all the terrible things. And Jesus says, no. The record says it never happened. Yeah, but I seem to remember back and it was really bad, and I remember it. No, Jesus says, no. The record says it never happened. Because He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. It's a lasting freedom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for freedom today. Hallelujah. To review, what must we understand about true spiritual freedom? We need to understand that it's possible. We need to declare to the world around us, to people who are in bondage, that it seems like they will never be free from, that true freedom is possible. We need to declare that true freedom is provided in the person of Jesus Christ. The Son of God is the one who sets people free. There is no other way. We need to understand that true freedom is personal. That whatever your weight is, whatever my weight is, whatever your addiction is, whatever my habit is, it doesn't matter. The Lord will set us free from each and every one. And we need to understand that true freedom is perpetual. It's a lasting freedom. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Thank God for freedom.